So again, to mute your phone, you can either use the microphone button next to your name and just click mute, or you can mute your phone directly as you call in. So welcome to this telehealth initiative. Rob, you have the floor. Here's our Mid-Atlantic and a courtesy invitation from our next generation participants as well.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure to be here, Yvette, and hello to all. As was mentioned during the introduction, I am the managing director at Simple Visit. We're a telemedicine service, and a little bit in the presentation, we'll tell you about what we do and how potentially we can help you with some of your telemedicine initiatives. But the goal here today is not just about Simple Visit, but telemedicine as a whole and how you can use it for your practices and what that means for you, especially in light of some of the MIPS improvement activities regarding access to care. So joining me today for this webinar is John Cornack, who is currently the Client Solutions Technical Strategist at Illumin, and he is also the secretary at the Maryland Telehealth Alliance. John, are you with us?
I'm here, Rob. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Awesome. You want to kind of introduce yourself regarding your background? I know I gave the high level. Maybe some of your experience in telemedicine and your perspective in this discussion.
Sure. So welcome, everybody. Thanks for having me. As Rob alluded to, right now I serve as a role as a strategist in the federal space, helping to lead initiatives around telemedicine, remote patient monitoring, as well as the new initiatives with the VA around their implementation with Cerner. In my previous life, I served in a role as a director of telehealth at the University of Maryland Medical Center in Baltimore, where we had between 20 and 30 different telemedicine service lines, ranging from tele-ICU, telestroke, teleneurology, even up to mental health services. So I've served in a number of different avenues within telemedicine, have helped to push forward legislation on reimbursement and credentialing. And like Rob said, I serve in a secretary role with the Maryland Telehealth Alliance, helping to grow the adoption of telemedicine across Maryland, and in general, just trying to promote the adoption and increase for telehealth and telemedicine. So thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks, John. Also with us is Carrie Palakanis. She is a family medicine provider in the Eastern Shore of Maryland called Anchor Health. She's a nurse practitioner. Carrie, I see you're in. Let's check your audio. Can you greet everybody? Tell them about what you do.
Yes. Can you hear me, Rob?
Yep, perfect.
Okay, perfect. Well, as you said, my name is Carrie Palakanis. I'm a family nurse practitioner in the Eastern Shore of Maryland, and I do telehealth. I've been working with telehealth for approximately 7 years now. I have telehealth services, primary care out to low access areas, as well as specialty care back into primary care facilities. And we perform telehealth psych mental health services to about 7 different counties in in and around our area, as well as substance use disorder, medication-assisted therapy via telehealth.
Carrie is what I call a rock star in telemedicine. She's a pioneer. She does it every day, and she is very insightful and is going to be a very good help for you all who are interested in actually getting started and potentially finding ways to get reimbursed or getting paid for that, which is going to be part of our discussion today. I'm so glad that John and Carrie both joined us for this webinar. It's going to be very insightful, different perspectives on this area of telemedicine. That was the goal. When we leave this webinar, this session, the goal here is to highlight developments in telemedicine, how you can use it, how you can apply it to your practices. We'll give a high level on reimbursement and regulations. Our experience, as you could probably gather, is in Maryland, but I understand there's folks here from Virginia and PA and surrounding areas. We're going to have some resources for you as well. And we'll go through what you need to do from beginning to end, and we'll have plenty of time for question and answers. So please make some notes, and when we conclude the presentation, we'll be more than happy to field those questions and help you get started. I want to direct your attention to, simplevisit.com/ACO. It's here where you can find some more resources that we're going to mention throughout the presentation. You'll also find
Rob, if you don't mind, please just share your screen again. I think somebody tried taking the screen from you.
Oh, you're right. Very good. Let's see if I can do that. Share. Yeah. How's that look?
Yep. We can see your screen.
Get this out of the way.
Yes. So just a reminder, because this is being recorded, I'm going to actually mute all participants. And please don't broadcast, as in the videos icon you see there. Please don't click that so that we don't see your screen and allow the presentation to go forward. So if you have a question, just please use the chat box, and I'm going to go ahead and mute all participants.
Sounds good. So again, encourage you to visit that site. You could sign up for our Simple Visit service, get more information in that regard, or just reimbursement for telemedicine in general. So let's begin. What is telemedicine? John and Carrie, this is going to be a conversation. You can jump in as you need, or I'll be asking you to give your insight. But I wanted to share in general, the ATA, the American Telemedicine Association, has defined telemedicine, as you see on the screen. It's a remote delivery of healthcare services and clinical information using telemedicine technology. Just very general, broad topic of telemedicine. When we say telemedicine, telehealth, this includes a wide variety of applications. John, I want you to kind of jump in here. When we're talking about telemedicine or telehealth, sometimes it can be very confusing. You want to jump in and share about what is actually out there in the world of telemedicine?
Sure, Rob, thanks. So in regards to the breadth of what's going on right now in the landscape of telemedicine and telehealth,
It's okay, I'll get it back up. Somebody keeps stealing it.
Sure. So in regards to the landscape, it really kind of depends on what your role in your organization is. We've seen everything from robots in large health systems that can actually roam the halls and do check-ins with intensive care unit patients, to solutions in rural America that can basically connect a physician to a patient either in their home or in a clinic setting, just using an everyday computer with a webcam and a microphone, as well as adding peripheral devices like a dermoscope or a stethoscope, being able to take those vital signs and electronically take that data and send it to your provider for review, as well as for some type of dashboard that can provide that information in an alert back to your provider. So there's quite a bit out there. Sometimes it's a little overwhelming for people when they want to get into this role, but it doesn't have to be. It can be as simple as you want it to be, and we'll talk about that a little bit more in depth.
Absolutely. The point here is telemedicine is just remote care. It's doing what you normally do, but whether you or your patient are separated by distance, you know, telemedicine can bring you together and you can give care in that regard. As I already mentioned, I want to explain what you're looking at. On the first circle there is a peripheral device where a patient at their home can do things that they would normally do in a clinical setting. And that would be reported to a doctor or a healthcare provider who's helping them they would be able to retrieve that information. John mentioned robots. That's what you're seeing in the middle there, robots that roam hospitals or certain areas to help connect specialists or counselors as are needed. And really what's probably most popular or common, or what you would be interested in, is this third circle here you see, is a video visit. A video visit is in this world of telemedicine is probably the most common. And it's certainly trending upward. This is not necessarily even a recent statistic, but 75 million in just about the last year or so was estimated virtual visits. And this is according to Deloitte here. And that number is an old number. We expect it to reach well beyond that, even within the past 12 months, because video visits are becoming more popular convenience for patients. It helps providers manage schedules or outsource a lot of benefits that we'll dive into here. But I want to bring this to your attention that even though the world of telemedicine or telehealth could be complicated or very involved, let's think of it in terms of video visits and how you can be seeing your patients remotely in ways that are beneficial to you. In the context, in the field of all that there is regarding video visits in telemedicine, you see some very common vendors that are included in this list. You have video conferencing like Vidyo or Zoom, VC. You have platforms that like a Vizio or SnapMD. You have Teladoc or American Well, where sometimes they'll even provide providers to kind of offset what you're doing locally. And then you have those that are added services on top of those video visits, which is really where Simple Visit falls in. We're presented more of a service than a video platform or some of these other additional staff augmentations regarding doctors. So want to make sure we're covering all of our bases here, but before we dive into how you actually begin virtual visits, regardless of the platforms or the services you want to use, I want to give you an introduction to Simple Visit. Obviously, I'm biased, but I feel like it could be of value to you, and we are partnering with the Mid-Atlantic Collaborative Care to be your telemedicine provider. So I want to make sure that you understand what that looks like for you and how we can be a benefit. Very high level, Simple Visit is a telemedicine receptionist service. We are built as a service to help you get started with telemedicine and manage that exchange on your behalf. The goal of Simple Visit is to minimize all the technical barriers that are commonly associated with telemedicine and manage that for you. So we deliver your patient on a video platform of your choice. We use things, you can see the icons there, FaceTime, Skype, Hangouts. These are video platforms that are commonly available, and admittedly, you're not going to see associated with the other telemedicine service. This is something that we uniquely provide, and especially with your direct-to-patient efforts, can help you easily connect to your patients on things they already have in their hands. Give you a picture of what this looks like. In the middle there would be a Simple Visit coordinator, and what they're doing is they're bringing a mom who has a child who isn't feeling well at home, connected to a provider who's in a clinical setting, and able to deliver care, and we weave that together. I think we had somebody on hold here. Awesome. So we bridge that together into a secure environment. And uniquely what we do, we have a patent on the technology that allows any-to-any video, and we also have a way to make this secure. We have another illustration here where we act as a receptionist, and what's important for you to understand here is you're not worrying about any additional steps. We as a Simple Visit service are going to call your patient, get them ready for the appointment, and call the provider. And once the provider says that they're ready, we're going to take the patient out of a virtual waiting room and connect you both together in a secure session. And just quickly, 1, 2, 3 steps, just as I explained, the experience the patient gets is a direct call, the experience the provider gets is a direct call, and then both are bridged in a secure session where they're seeing it. The coordinator is not involved. Here's why this is a high value. There's no additional hardware. You don't need to buy special equipment. You can use what you already have. No additional software, no downloads, no usernames, passwords for your patients or for you as the provider. A lot of the barrier for patients who want to do virtual care is there's too many steps or too many downloads or too many technical barriers. And so what we do is we reduce that those no-shows because we also reduce those barriers. I'll wrap this up, this section up, to just let you know that we sell this service as a subscription. If you're ready to get started, it's really easy to do so. You have a starter packet for $99 a month that includes 10 visits per month. If there's more that you want to do, there's packages that make sense for that, but it's very easy to get started. If that's something you're interested in, simplevisit.com/ACO is the place to get started. You sign up there. And the agreement we have with the Mid-Atlantic ACO is that your first 30 days are free. So even though you sign up for that plan, as you're getting started, getting acclimated, it's at no cost to you. Look forward to chatting with you guys some more as you're interested. You could also request a demo from that website as well. So that's what Simple Visit is. In the world of telemedicine, all of these telemedicine options, all of these vendors, all these platforms, Simple Visit is a service to help you get started. And we have live coordinators and technical support to get that going for you very quickly. A lot of our customers get started the very same day. So that's what we do. Let's talk about now, how do you get started with virtual visits? How do you get started with your telemedicine practice? John, I'd like for you to jump in here. You have experience both with University of Maryland and then those that you've consulted with. Before we dive into some use cases, I'd like for you to jump in your opinion on what the best way to get started.
Thanks, Rob. I appreciate that. I think the biggest thing not to put first is the technology, because most of the time people, all they worry about is what bell and whistle, what platform, how much additional hardware do I need to buy?
Yep.
And that's typically always the first, you know, the first thing that everybody kind of really worries about or figures out. That's not really the proper way of doing it. There is a method to a lot of this, and it's really looking at what your clinical practice is and how do you actually envision this working in. So this is a depiction of when I served as the director of telehealth, what kind of steps does it need to take in order to deliver a telemedicine program? Now, this may be daunting to a lot of people, but it doesn't have to be. Working at a 12 to 13 hospital system where there's a lot of balls in the air, you have to really figure out what is your scope, what do you actually want to do, where do you feel that telemedicine could actually help augment, again, not replace face-to-face, but help augment interactions with your patients, and really figuring out what the scope is and doing a clinical overview of how you do, how you practice today and where does telemedicine fit in. Again, technology is that third bullet or so in there, but again, this doesn't have to be as simple, it doesn't have to be as hard as a lot of articles talk about. You may have colleagues that are doing this that may say, oh, I've had a really bad experience with it. It doesn't have to be a bad experience. It can be as simple as you can make it. And again, that's kind of why we're discussing simple vision in the background, is you have technology in your pocket today. You have technology in your home setting, in your office setting. People are using this every day. So again, I'm going to say there is a method to this, and there is a process of how you envision this, and I think that's where the Simple Visit can actually come in and help augment and render that. This is the only reason why I wanted to show this this mock-up, was that there are a lot of steps that you have to go through in order to set up a program, but the technology is probably the simplest thing in the whole process.
You bring up a good point on what that technology shouldn't be first. And I've known personally a lot of folks who look to Simple Visit or they're in the research phase regarding technology, and they don't necessarily have the workflow set up beforehand, and that's necessary. And I would contend that probably the first step is you want to determine how are you going to use virtual visits, right? What are ways, can this actually be done? Is this applicable to what I'm doing? Carrie, I'm interested in you jumping in here and telling more about what you do, but John, do you, in the list that you see here on the screen, you want to speak to any of these on how folks are doing virtual visits?
Well, I think right now, the probably what everybody or a lot of people that Carrie and I know are doing right now is in the teleconsult phase, more or less implementing the face-to-face video, as well as with a handful of the behavioral health and even med management. I worked intensively with a physician who is doing follow-up care with his patients, and he wanted to put a scale around, you know, patients that were 50 miles away from his practice. So again, doing follow-up care. This is probably just a handful of what people are doing right now. The report sharing is, while everybody or it's mandated around patient portals, the utilization of patients using those portals has dwindled. And the reason why is because patients, you know, it's too complex. You know, I get a link and I'm supposed to log in and I've got this username with that password. It's just too complex. Being able to reach out to a physician and having that face-to-face and having them the ability of sharing those images or your lab data right online via that's important. You're getting more than just that 15 seconds of FaceTime that you would usually get in an exam office. You're actually getting that more with a virtual visit. So again, this is only a handful. I can probably give you a list of at least 20 to 30 more uses of virtual visits, but this is just a handful. And I'll kick it over to Carrie, because obviously Carrie's the physician with the clinical background, and she can comment on her uses.
Please, yes.
Yeah, I agree completely, John. You know, this is by no means an all-inclusive list. And I will say that the more that you use telehealth and the more that you're doing virtual visits, the more use cases you find along the way. As far as the ACO markets go, I think that there's a huge amount of value in that follow-up, as well as in transitional care management and reducing readmission. Or the other area that I see another really untapped market, but one that is very useful for virtual visits, is when you have global services that are already being covered, particularly for surgical areas where you have follow-up visits, and those follow-up visits don't have to necessarily come to the waiting areas of your offices. You can use the virtual visits to reduce the amount of time that the provider is spending in a follow-up visit, as well as improve the patient's sense of comfort by not having to travel back and forth for a follow-up visit. For transitional care, in order to get that higher reimbursement, you could certainly do the visit virtually within the first 2 days post-discharge, and therefore be eligible for the higher level of transitional care reimbursement, as well as ideally reduce readmission rates. Absolutely, there's no question about virtual visits being a ideal way to handle behavioral health and addiction treatment. I initially started doing virtual visits for my primary care patients in remote and rural areas, and the idea being that I have some populations that aren't necessarily able to make it to the office because of environmental barriers. But from that, we realized that there was this whole other arena of folks that maybe are within the catchment area, but maybe not able to necessarily be transported. So we've converted a lot of our home visit patients to virtual visits versus having the providers have to go out and do in-home services. We can do it. And as Rob pointed out at the beginning, I think what I really like about the Simple Visit platform, because I live and breathe this every day, is that idea of having the person, the coordinator, on the Simple Visit end. Because a classic example is yesterday, I actually run what I like to call a hybrid practice. I see patients in my office, and I do telehealth visits simultaneously. And so by having that coordinator available, I can have the coordinators hold the patient for me for a few minutes while I finish up an in-office patient, and then hop on. And I actually treat my virtual visits as almost a I have four exam rooms, so a fifth exam room, my office becomes a fifth exam room for me, and I schedule telehealth visits on my schedule just as I'm scheduling inpatient or in-person visits. And so I, you know, as always, will run behind occasionally, and having that coordinator be able to hold that patient in the virtual realm while I'm catching up or, you know, manipulating the times in between patients, it's invaluable compared to other services that are out there. But I do love to talk to people about having hybrid practices too. While, you know, you certainly can have a full telehealth practice, the ability to hybridize your practice and enjoy a little bit of both, or maybe even have providers where I actually have one day a week he comes to the office, and the other 4 days a week he provides telehealth visits. And so this is, you know, quality of life improver for your providers. So I could go on endlessly, but I won't, and I'll wait till we get to questions and answers on more there.
Speaking of which, I do want to remind you all, encourage you to write down your questions. We'll have plenty of time at the end to address those. And then also all three of us could speak for us, that we'll make ourselves available if you want to shoot us an email with or contact us with any further inquiries. You can get access to some help, some hands-on help. Again, I'm going to plug the website here, simplevisit.com/ACO. There's a way for you to request some maybe additional consulting help as you get started. Doesn't have to be difficult, especially with how Simple Visit helps offset some of the technical technology barriers. But it would be of help if this is something that you're wanting to build quickly, successfully, and for the long term. I encourage you to talk with somebody who's been through it, like Carrie or some of the other consultants that we have available. John, I'm going to bring up the resources page here. I already mentioned the last one, simplevisit.com/ACO. Would you mind helping the viewers understand where they could get some more information outside of that?
Sure, definitely. Thanks, Rob. So in regards to telemedicine and telehealth, probably the biggest resource has always been the American Telemedicine Association, and they have, you actually can get access to not only people that are in your state, but also people all over the country, all over the world that have been doing telemedicine. So the American Telemedicine is one plug. So wherever you are, you're actually put into a location that are funded by HRSA for resources. So the Telehealth Resource Center basically divides the entire country into resource centers. If you're on the East Coast in the Mid-Atlantic region, you would ultimately be under the Mid-Atlantic Telehealth Resource Center. But you can go to telehealthresourcecenter.org and find out more information on where you are in regards to which telehealth center, as well as getting access to some additional resources there. Within Maryland, we decided to start up our own telehealth alliance just because we wanted to really help people within Maryland that really wanted to get more information, get more education, even help us in regards to some of the boards, that the regs that were being done, and getting their voices heard. So we, last October, we incorporated and we had our first meeting. So for those in Maryland who are on the call, MarylandTelehealth.org is your place to go for education and community outreach, and then obviously SimpleVisit.com/ACO for additional information. So,
thanks, John. There may be equivalents in your state regarding the telehealth alliance, but certainly that resource center would be a good starting point. I encourage you to do that. So to kind of recap where we're at and where we're going, oh, I spilled the beans. You see it there. We're heading into reimbursement options, which is probably the most common question. How do I get paid? How do I get reimbursed? Is this even worth it for me? But up to this point, we've talked about that telehealth is a broad subject encompassing a lot of applications and technology. We kind of focused in on the video visit portion and talked about why that's valuable or potentially valuable for your practice regarding teleconsultations and the other use cases that were mentioned. We also gave some suggestions that if you're getting started, don't look at technology first. Look at your use cases first. Look at your workflow. And see if the technology that you choose can align with what you're trying to do. Gave you an idea of what Temple Visit looks like. I'm going to give you an illustration of one of our clients, actually maybe two of our clients, leading into this discussion about reimbursement. The business models around telemedicine vary. While telemedicine application has increased tremendously in recent times, the policies regarding telemedicine application are a little behind, which is to be expected, and certainly regarding telemedicine reimbursement. Fortunately, Maryland and some of the others in our area are in what's called parity states, meaning that there's a requirement by law that televisits should be reimbursed the same as its in-house equivalent. Which is very positive. And some folks, providers, practices, take advantage of that. We heard from John about what hospitals do, from Carrie what she does in her practice. We have an urgent care group locally, multi-site urgent care, that utilizes our service, and they do a cash base. So they'll offer a virtual visit in an urgent care environment for a mom with multiple kids, maybe to stay home and to have a doctor see them remotely. They'll charge a fee for that and not worry about reimbursement. We have a concierge doctor based out of New York, sees patients all over the globe. And again, the concierge model would be cash-based rather than seeking reimbursement. But then there are cases in which you can be reimbursed. There's some of you who are on this call that I've talked to already that say, hey, I have one payer that that I'm doing virtual visits with, but I have patients that are using other insurance companies, and I want to know how can I get paid by them. And so in this next section, we want to help you with that. I'll tease you to just say go to simplevisit.com/ACO. In the middle of the page, we have links to reimbursement policy by state. So you'll want to review that for your state to make sure that you have a clear understanding of what the expectations are for private insurance and, of course, for Medicare and Medicaid. Carrie, I want to turn it over to you now. You are the expert in this regard, and I want you to speak to what you know for Maryland and maybe some other use cases for getting reimbursed for telemedicine.
Well, you talked about parity, and I know at the beginning you mentioned that some of the folks online are Virginia, Pennsylvania, I think you mentioned. I'm trying to think if we have anybody from New Jersey. Parity exists in all of those states, and actually, I don't know if John's put it on the slides, but a good place to go to find out whether parity is existing in your state is to go to the American Telemedicine Association website, and they have a good link for that. As John mentioned earlier, reaching out to your telehealth resource center or your local state alliance. Oh, there you go, AmericanTelemed.org. And you can look up whether or not your state has parity. And what parity is basically that anything that's done face-to-face is reimbursed at the same rate via telehealth as long as you meet the criteria. Now, there is some definition from what Medicare considers reimbursable activities and reimbursable providers versus Medicaid in your area or your commercial payers, and that's where your telehealth resource center or your local state alliance can help you, or, you know, as Rob pointed out, we'd be happy to help those that we can along the way. But right now, Medicare and your commercial payers tend to be very, certain commercial payers, like in my state, my Blue Cross payer, CareFirst, is a very, very aggressive with telehealth and very innovative in reimbursing for telehealth services. But in parity states, the commercial payers are required to participate in reimbursement at the same level as the Medicare and Medicaid is, and so you oftentimes have that going across the board. Medicare does have a rurality component associated with it right now that you can be reimbursed for care out to rural areas, and there's actually a link on the Medicare website that will address whether or not the site you're trying to reach is considered rural. But that is likely to go away within the next year or two because Medicare has also realized that there is an incredible value associated with telehealth. And so a lot of areas that may not necessarily be reimbursable at this moment, you just have to stay with your ear to the ground because it changes rapidly as the use and value case of telehealth is moving at warp speed throughout the country. And then, of course, as I mentioned earlier, in an ACO environment, there's an inherent value to launching telehealth in certain service areas as well. So that's my 30,000-foot overview for you there, Ron.
I appreciate that. Is there any value in getting into the originating site, destination site conversation in this context?
I don't know if we have enough time to do that, but that is certainly something that we could maybe pass back to them. Basically, I can just do a real quick overview. When you look into the Medicare regulations, they address what are called originating sites and distant sites. Originating sites, and what Rob has up there is something that I frequently use to discuss this in the state of Maryland. So when you see Maryland Medicaid, that's why that's there, and what Medicare considers an originating site. The way I describe it to folks is that originating site is the place at which the patient is sitting at the time the service is provided. So it gets a little bit confusing when you do that, but basically the patient's going to be at the originating site. And as you can see there, in Maryland, we don't have a rurality restriction. In other words, it doesn't matter whether the patient is sitting in downtown Baltimore or way out in the middle of the boondocks where I'm at, you can still be reimbursed for telehealth. Whereas Medicare does have a location eligibility associated with where that patient is at the time that the service is provided. So that's what an it's where the patient sits. The distant site, on the other hand, is the place at which the provider giving the service is at. So whether it's a physician, nurse practitioner, PA, nutritionist, social worker, it's the person that's basically billing for the service where they're at. That's the distant site. So originating site where the patient's at, distant site where the provider at. The provider can be at any location, doesn't matter with rurality or not, as long as they meet an eligible location. The originating site, as of this moment for Medicare, and as I said, I'm very confident saying this is not going to last, must meet the location eligibility.
Okay, thank you. So part of the motivation for you all being on this call and the partnership that we have with the Mid-Atlantic ACO is the MIPS improvement activity, access to care is in that list. There's benefits to you all for adding telemedicine. We want to make sure that we have an easy way to do that. And from what I understand, the end of August is a deadline to meet that, to get started. So within the next several months here, looking to get that going. Carrie, I don't know if you have anything have regarding the MIPS attestation requirements. Feel free to jump in. But I know that that's something that the folks who are on the call are very mindful of trying to meet.
But I don't have specifics other than I'd be happy to answer questions when we get there.
Okay.
I'm being mindful of time right now.
Okay, very good. So no problem. So here we go. We're going to talk about the next steps, kind of landing the plane after this entire discussion of introducing telehealth, what that means, video visits, simple visit, how we can help, how you should get started, how to get paid. Now the next step here is to actually put your foot to the ground, rubber meets the road. And I'm going to suggest you to do simplevisit.com/ACO. And go there and you can schedule a demo to learn about Simple Visit. You can get resources. You can get in touch with some consultants. Or you could sign up for an account and we can get you started this very same day. I very much encourage you to do that. Also, if you are interested, what we can do is, let me show you this right now, and then as you're getting your questions ready, we can take those and be happy to take those in just a moment. So here's a picture of what the site looks like if you have yet to visit that. If you go to the site, you'll have two options to demo or find out more information, or you can get started by filling out your practice information, and you can create an account and then choose your plan that makes sense for you and get started from there. If you scroll down just to the middle, you have access to some more resources regarding how to use the common video platforms that we do, how we do that, reimbursement, ways to use, so on and so forth. So very much encourage you to use that as a resource, whether it's today or in the future as you're getting started. And then I'll also give you my contact information. You can reach me at this phone number or this email address if you have any further questions on how we do what we do. With that said, I know we're wanting to give a good amount of time here for questions. Yvette, I'll turn it over to you if you want to moderate that, and then we'll be happy to respond to those.
Thank you, Rob. And so, guys, you've had it. Thank you so much for your team as well, Rob, that you put together to help really give us the raw data on what telehealth involves and, you know, getting started. And hopefully everybody has had a push or a stimulant within them to that this can be done within their practices. That being said, I'm going to unmute the line for those of you who have questions. So I just want to remind everybody again that the lines are going to be unmuted. And so if you're having side discussions or seeing patients, please be mindful of that. We're going to unmute the line in the next few seconds. And so your questions, if you have a question, you can just go ahead and ask. Okay, so the lines are unmuted, and if anybody has a question, they can go ahead and ask the panel, any one of them.
Well, while you all are thinking about your questions, I do want to mention regarding using SimpleVisit, we have some options to integrate with your EMR scheduling service. So if you were to schedule a virtual visit, you could do that within the same environment you normally do. If for some reason you're not interested in that or we don't have the integration, we have an online scheduling platform that you can use to schedule the virtual appointments, and then we manage it from there. You don't have to do anything else.
Any questions?
Rob, I'd like to make one comment on SimpleVisit. From my years of experience with using different platforms and interacting with patients, you'd be surprised the number of patients that are willing to do telemedicine. I think everybody who's on the line, you know, surveying your patients to find out if they would be, you know, have the acumen to ultimately do a teleconsult from their home via smartphone or via device, it'll really set the precedence of how moving forward telemedicine is. And I think with what SimpleVisit has that not a lot of other platforms have is that they have the ability to not only check in with the patient, but to check video, to check audio, all the components that a lot of other platforms don't have. They basically say, you know, you can send a link to your patient and they have to download an application and they have to do all these components. Sometimes it's so time consuming to the patient or even to the provider that they just get upset or they just get mindful of it and kind of push it off to the side. I think that's really what the secret sauce of SimpleVisit has, is that they have that component of that concierge service, checking with the patient, checking with the provider, providing a lot of that back end infrastructure and services to make it as simple as possible. And then once everybody's together, they put you in a locked, secure room. So people who are worried about security and privacy, all those components are provided through a business associates agreement, through all those the infrastructure that SimpleVisit has built to make it as simple as possible. So I just want to make sure that people are on the line. who, you know, may have certain thoughts around telemedicine, sign up for a demo and really experience what Simple Visit has to offer.
So we have a question in the chat, and it can be any one of you can actually address this. It says, how do you cover all the required elements of the evaluation and management codes, such as physical data science in this visit?
Carrie, I think that may be a Carrie question.
Yes. You have to remember that you certainly never want to bill for the services that you don't provide. If you're doing a virtual visit, then you're going to bill more than likely your E&M code off of a time factor more so than off of a physical factor. When I'm doing my virtual visits, I still do provide documentation associated with what I can see on the screen as far as the patient's psych mental health assessment, their just overall general appearance. If I'm looking at a wound or a skin or anything that I can visually document, I'll do that as well.
Cherry, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but unfortunately the person who asked the question said she can't hear you. So if there's a possibility of increasing the volume a little bit, that would be great.
Okay, I'll try to talk louder if that helps.
Okay, great. That's better, actually.
Okay, so basically what I was saying is that you're going to document what you can see visually on the virtual visit as well. So if I am doing a visit, I'm going to document the psych mental health status based on my communication with the patient. I'm going to do a general assessment of their overall appearance and their interaction throughout the visit. If I'm looking at skin or a body part that we are visually seeing, I'm going to document that as well. The vast majority of your E&M service code billing is going to come off of a time factor as well as the difficulty in assessment and evaluation. But you obviously, in the situation of a true virtual visit where you don't have peripherals involved that are going to allow you to see, hear specifics, then you're going to document your time factors, and you're still going to meet the E&M criteria appropriately.
Thank you. I think one of the questions I get asked most frequently whilst within this practice is the liability aspect of it. So I'm not sure if any of you can address that. A lot of them seem to think there's a liability that comes with telehealth.
Absolutely. I can address that one too. One of the things that you do want to do if you're providing telehealth is you want to make sure that you notify your professional liability provider that you are going to be doing telehealth services. It is more commonplace now so that when you do notify them, they will make sure that you have that in your liability contract as a rider. I have been doing it for 5 years. I've been notifying my professional liability company that I'm doing telehealth. They've never increased my rates for it. I've never had any change in it, but I do make sure that it's documented that I am providing, and they do request information from me about what types of services I'm providing via telehealth, but it's never affected my rates at all. But I absolutely agree that it's something that you want to make sure is addressed and included in your professional liability policy.
Thank you.
Now, as far as is there more liability performing telehealth versus performing an in-person visit, the answer to that is overwhelmingly no. There have been plenty of use case studies that show that the vast majority of information that we gather and the information needed in order to make a diagnosis is done through the history. The physical exam is more confirmatory than anything. So with the telehealth visits, you tend to be much more thorough on your history taking, and for that reason, it definitely lowers the liability. And then, of course, you have to, as a provider, also be able to say at some point that if you're seeing a patient that you feel that an in-person exam is warranted, in other words, is needed in order to make an accurate diagnosis, then you're going to refer that patient to an inpatient or an in-person visit. But that doesn't necessarily negate providing virtual visits for other services. It's just using your professional expertise and your professional decision making as to whether or not a virtual visit alone suffices for management of the patient's condition or if it's a combination.
Unrelated, but something that came up that I think would be very, very helpful for some of you who are not doing virtual visits right now is if you want to get started and implement this and you're not sure if your patients are interested, John already suggested a survey, which I think would be great, but you could also create a controlled environment. You could select a patient and maybe when they're in person, suggest to them that a follow-up would be done virtually, that you're wanting to create this and offer that as an option for them. That would be a good way to get started. And then there's also tools that Simple Visit can provide to you that are patient-facing, where you could go, they could go on your website and request a virtual visit, and then you could gauge their interest, saying, hey, this person's interested in a virtual visit, and your team, your scheduler, whoever, can respond to that and confirm the appointment time. So those are two easy ways to get started if you have a question in your mind on how to do this, how to approach it.
I do have a question because I got asked this in a practice, and it was that, you know, if I implement telehealth visit, then I'm going to see a drop of my drop in the number of patients who would likely come in as an inpatient visit for an office visit. Did you find that to be the case when you started, Carrie?
No, actually not, and I don't know that that would be a problem. My ideal world is to have no waiting room, because I think the more that you incorporate it, but in it, and actually it's kind of gone the opposite direction. I started introducing telehealth, and now my patients more and more ask for telehealth visits for follow-ups or for conditions that they want to be seen for rather than come in person. And what I'm seeing is patients asking for telehealth visits who would otherwise not come in because of constraints for time or work or fill in the blank. So I have not seen a drop. I've actually seen the opposite. I have more opportunities and more ability. But when you're in a state of parity, it doesn't matter because you're getting the same pay for the service, whether it's done in person or on telehealth. So it really shouldn't matter much.
And I think that's usually one of their greatest concerns is the revenue aspect, you know, if they're going to see a drop in their revenue with implementing that. So thank you so much for addressing that.
Sure.
Okay. Do we have any more questions? All right. Well, I'd like to extend my gratitude to you guys, the panel, Rob and your team, for really bringing light to telehealth, and hopefully the team, the Mid-Atlantic team and the Courtesy team with the X-NextGen providers, you are more motivated to doing this as solo providers, and you have seen and now hear how easy it is to get this implemented within your practices. So thank you so much for taking the time this Friday to really go through this point with us and introducing us to a better world of televisit.
Well, it was my pleasure. Thank you very much. Look forward to working with you all in the near future. Bye now.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Thanks. Bye-bye.